Yo, what's up, y'all? How y'all doing? This is Mike Walton, a.k.a. MagicMike32 on your Instagram and your Twitter. Also, Michael Walton on Facebook. Been away for a minute. Been busy doing a lot of things, doing my Reasonable Ignorance podcast on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts and other places, too. But I'm back now. I'm gonna try to do this like every other day, cause I miss doing it. Been busy with the lawn care service I have and a barber shop where I work at. You know, just being a father, a son. I'm not the Holy Spirit though. just been busy. You know, shout out to my son today. He turned 24. Little Mike. Not little Mike no more, but Mike. He's a Marine. And turned 24 today. I remember when his mama told me she was expecting. We were expecting in a funny way. But there's been a lot going on, switching gears and getting on some real topics here. I thought about yesterday on social media, Facebook and Instagram, mainly. It was one video that caught my attention yesterday morning, and it was about a little kid in preschool, and at first, you know, it made me laugh because I'm ignorant or whatever, and I'm silly. Then I thought about, you know, this is a child. He's graduating out of preschool, going into kindergarten, and as they're playing the graduation music, and a few kids having their graduation caps with their tassels on them, no gowns, just the caps. And they play the graduation music, the regular music. And the teacher says, is everybody here okay? Hello, all ladies and gentlemen and boys and girls. And the young boy blurts out, shut the fuck up. Just like in the Jay-Z Reasonable Doubt song on 22 Tools when Maria Davis is talking. And that little boy yelled it out just like that. And she said, is there a problem? Do you need to leave now? And he says, right on cue, no, bitch. And it became, you know, at first one of the guys posted it here in Chicago, he posted it. And he said that this is, obviously the little man has some problems going on. But he couldn't stop from laughing. And I was like the same way, like, man, this is wild. And this is at 6 o'clock in the morning. By 9 o'clock, it was on everybody's timeline, on social media, on Facebook or Instagram. And I was thinking, like, the grown people that surround that young man, they are failing him, you know, for a kid that young to know when to curse like that. And can't put a complete sentence together. It's just cursing words and you know, swear words or whatever you want to call them. They are failing this young man. And it's going to, you know, going to be a long road to more people are thinking that he's funny. You know, he's graduating out of preschool like that. That's terrible. That's a shame. And whoever around him that's grown, they should feel very much responsible for the things that came out of his mouth. And they should be absolutely embarrassed and shameful as well. It was a man snatched up the kid and pulled him out. And of course, I'm missing a key point here. He was African-American young man, and his father or whoever the man was, that snatched him up. He was African American too. And it led me to think that, man, we gotta do a better job as men and women and leaders of these people to get them out here and help these children, man. Because, you know, the song back in the day was I Believe the Children Are the Future. You know, Eddie Murphy did his rendition of it and Coming to America as Randy Watson. But when Whitney Houston sung it, you know, it gave us a little, and the Children Were the Future, you know, and that was us singing, and we you know, the children behind us are the future now, you know, my son is the future, and things of that nature, my children are the future, your children, your nephews, your nieces, your, you know, whoever you are, you know, you're going to get, the police don't kill you, you're going to grow, you know, you're going to get older, and the key to getting older is living, and giving back to the people that's coming behind you and showing them the way. And nobody's showing that kid the right way. You know, wherever I don't know what his everyday schedule is, but it's too many people laughing with him and saying the wrong things to him. I'm thinking it's cute. I'm going to take you back to the city of Chicago, probably 93, 94. There was a young man here. He was 11 years old. His name was Robert Yummy Sandifer. Robert Yummy Sandifer, 11 years old. He was shooting at some rival guys. And he basically was being sent off at 11 years old to go shoot at some other guys by some teenagers or whatever. And he was going to shoot at some more teenagers. And he was a black disciple. And he wound up shooting a young lady who had just graduated from grammar school, which was 8th grade, and she was on her way to high school. And he wound up killing her. Her name was Siobhan Dean. She was 14 years old. And this became such hot news that the gang took a lot of criticism for it, and it was hot on them. So they was hiding this young kid out, and everybody knew who they were looking for. And this young kid was being held out, but he was also being wanted by his grandmother and his family. They was looking for him, and she was pleading every day for like 3 or 4 days for them to bring her kid out. And like the third or fourth day, they took him up on a viaduct, a overpass here, you know, in other towns, a viaduct here, where the trains and the cars, the trains go over the top and the cars go up on the, you know, the bottom part, the street part, the street level of it. And they wind up executing the kid in the back of the head twice. Sending them down. They had two teenager brothers to do it. And the Hardaway brothers, Craig Hardaway, and I forgot the other kid's name. You know, these are stories that I just remember because I was 20, 21. No, I was like 22 at the time. And it stuck with me so much because it stuck with me to the point where I actually went to the kid's wake because I used to see him on Sunday mornings at this park where we used to go play basketball at Ada Park. We used to go play basketball on Sunday mornings. And he was a bad kid then. He was doing 17 and 18 year old things, and people thought it was cute that he was doing these type of things. And it was actually, we actually were failing the kid. You know, he was running with guys that was grown, 20 years old, not 30 years old, but 20 years old. And they would, you know, send this kid off to do crazy things. And we was hoopers. So we'd be like, that's a little badass shorty right there. Little yummy, come in, you know, go do this, go do that, you know. Or send him to go get us some juices out of the vending machine, or some Gatorades out of the vending machine, for we could have after we hoop. And he was just bad. And he really didn't have no real guidance. And this kid that was cursing the other day on social media at this graduation from preschool, if you think about it, if he's 4 or 5 years old, that ain't too far from 11. You know what I mean? That's 6 years. Somebody has to get in this kid's ear, you know, and in a way time is even speeding up now, he could be doing these type of things at 9 years old or 8 years old if he's cursing like that at a graduation, you know. So, you know, it touched me. We got to quit failing these kids and picking them up in a positive light and bigging them up tell you an interesting story. Yesterday, I was standing outside. I was actually on the phone talking to a friend of mine. And what went down was, it's a dance studio now for the youth down the street from the barbershop that I work at. So as the kids are walking past, you know, it's three average-sized teenagers and one short little kid. And then it's the three average-sized teenagers, they are males, and then it's four girls, and they average-sized too. But it's a shorter kid, and he has his pants sagging. He has his hat cocked to the side, like really cocked to the side, like where the beard is, the beard that goes across your face is over his ear. And he's walking like he's tough, he's cussing. Then he just said, hey, you got 50 Cent? So my initial reaction was, yeah, I got 50 Cent like 15 times. So he said, what? I said, yeah, I got 50 Cent like 15 times. Then I told the person on the phone, I was like, hey, hold on a second. Let me call you back. So I was like, hey, come here. I'm like, what's your name? He told me his name. I'm like, I'm Mike. I'm working in this barbershop right here. I was like, how old are you? He was like, I'm 13. So these other kids, they kept walking, you know, as they was walking down the street because they was going to the park across the way from the barbershop, which is a school, but this is like a park, you know, a playground over there. So I said, what they going to? They going to smoke? He's like, man, you asking a lot of questions. I was like, you going to smoke with them? He's like, yeah. I said, what you need 50 Cent for? So he's like, because I got 50 Cent already. If I get another 50 Cent, I have a dollar. Then I'll send somebody in the store for me in the gas station to get me a blunt. They're like, a blunt? He's like, yeah. I was like, wow, you 13 years old? I said, how long you been smoking? Like, man, you ask a lot of questions. I was like, yeah, that's how you learn. You ask questions and you read and you research. He's like, yeah. He's like, how long you been a barber? I was like, been a barber since 1993. He's like, what made you want to be a barber? So now we having a dialogue, we having a conversation. So now he's getting to know me and I'm getting to know him. I'm trying to give him some positivity in his life too at the same time. So we talked for about a good 4 or 5 minutes. And he went on to proceed across the street. I said, as he went to go across the street, I said, hey, man, you're not going to even look. You just going to just walk out in the street. I said, how you know who driving one of those cars? How you know that person ain't drunk? I said, the car it's not, just because that stop sign is there don't mean it's going to stop. How you know that person knows what a stop sign is? How you know that person ain't in a high speed? Don't y'all like high speed chases? He's like, oh man, you funny. He's like, what you know about high speed chases? I was like, I know y'all got them on Grand Theft Auto. So he looked in astonishment almost. Like, man, what do you know about the Grand Theft Auto? So I was like, yeah, man, I'm aware of what y'all be playing, you know? And I was like, I'm gonna be around though, man. I was like, you with the dance troupe down here. I said, I'm gonna be in the barber shop. So like 20 minutes later, he comes back past. He's like, what up, Mike? So now we're going to build a dialogue. And that's all it takes is a conversation with the youth, with somebody of age, with some positivity, and to make them feel accepted, you know, and make them feel wanted, make them feel valued, make them feel like they're more than what they are trying to be. You know, this kid, he's 13 trying to be like a 17-year-old. A 17-year-old is trying to be like a 23-year-old. And they all just the blind leading the blind. So somebody my age, which is 48, I got to show them somebody cares about them. Because somebody's showing that little kid that was cursing, then nobody cares about him. So take a few minutes out of your day if you can. Try to help the youth, you know. Even if it's not your child. Because this kid that you're helping could have some influence on your child. You know what I mean? I remember when the Chief Keef era first began and them and JoJo was going and they was making videos. You know, that's the wave of the hip hop industry right now. That's what everybody has built there. That's what the kid is locked up now. That was Tekashi 6ix9ine. That's what he built his whole persona off of. A kid that was from here, Rondo number 9, whose mother and father I know from high school. And you got to help these people. You got to help these kids. You got to help each one teach one. So, you know, the influence that Chief Keef and them put out here with that drill music, He went from some kids with nothing to all across the country because of the internet and YouTube and, you know, social media, Twitter, and beefing with each other, you know. And everybody, that became the wave because it was making, it was, you know, when he came out with that, I don't like song, that took off and made it a wave. And it was popular. Def Jam jumped on it. And they signed Lil Durk. And they signed Lil Reese. And these kids got million-dollar contracts. You know. Of course, they had a few guys from here ahead, you know, spearheading it for them. But, you know, Fake Sure Drive was part of it, you know. But a lot of people have lost their lives behind that because nobody was guiding those kids. You know, they was making music. It was people losing lives, too. And you know, it's sad to say, you know, they talented, but I'm quite sure that they would want to, you know, be led in a much more positive way. You know, I ain't going to say too much more on that because there's still people that's fanatics about them, like real fanatics, and will go crazy about, they'll misconstrue your words and won't get it till I'm dead and gone. You know what I mean? So, help somebody, man. Help a kid, even if it's not your kid, man. Because that kid can influence your kid to do something stupid. You know? Your kid can look at that kid as a positive. Like, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. You know? It's crazy out here. I'm glad I was never influenced that much by the streets to want to be just a street dude. I like the cool dudes and the athletes. Entertainers, you know. I was more influenced by Run from Run DMC than shit, the local dude up the street that was hustling his weed or whatever back in the days. When in 83, when Run came out, shit, they had to come to Screaming Wheels with New Edition because nobody would back up hip-hop like that. And that's how I became to like New Edition because the girls in the classroom like them. And then when I went to go see him, I seen Bobby Brown. He was dark-skinned. I said, well, I could dance like that. You know, I could relate to him, you know. I could talk like Mike in the back, you know. I can't sing, but I could dance like Ronnie. You know, I can't sing like Rick, but I could flirt with the girls. You know, I could be a showman like Ralph, you know. I seen myself in them. I seen myself in Run a little bit, you know. And on the personal side, the people I looked up to in the neighborhood was the guys that was really could hoop, the cool guys. You know, one of the best guys that ever played basketball ever in the city, to come out of the city of Chicago, who was actually became a tragedy after he became the number one basketball player in the nation, which was Benji Wilson, a guy I grew up with and I admire, you know, which I can proudly say that's my friend. And you can see me on talking about him on the 30 for 30 special. You know, so those are the people, those are the influences I like more so than the guys who was smoking weed or drinking, you know, on the side of the court. And I like the guys that was on the court. And I didn't like the chicks that liked the thug guys. I didn't like them because I knew where it was going. You know, I didn't want to disappoint my grandmother or my mother. I didn't want them to... Nobody come here and, you know, come to my mother's house and say that, well, your son is locked up or he's dead in the street, you know. You got to come identify the body because I've seen that. And that's a painful feeling to see a parent go through that, you know. I've seen some terrible sights with parents really crying, mamas really crying, fathers never get over losing their child. So... But that's going to be all I'm going to do, man. I'm going to do these about three or four times a week, man. I'm going to try to have the best fun I can with it. I want you all to tell a friend and tell a friend, you know. It's going to be the Mike Walton Daily Report. That's what it's going to be, the Mike Walton Daily Report. I also was going to talk about that video that he was sharing on Facebook, which was like a fetish video. Something that I wish I never had gave the 4 seconds I gave of watching it. Disgusting. That's all I'm going to say. That's it for B, man. Y'all take it easy. I appreciate y'all listening. Tell a friend and tell a friend to listen to the Mike Walton Daily Report. Thank you.